And then in chapter 31, verse 31, we have another covenant, or we'll also mention the broken covenant. Jeremiah 31, 31. And verse 32. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Two covenants there in those verses, see them there? Broken covenant, new covenant. Hang on to that, that's the message of Jeremiah. That's why he's writing. First of all, the one that has failed, and now the next one that God would make with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Remember, what are we doing? We're going back to the roots. We're going back to the beginning of the story of the new covenant. I will come to the Gospels and the Lord's Supper and Paul's epistles a little later on, but we've got to go back to the roots, because we believe by going back to the roots and putting the new covenant in its right setting, we're able to give Israel its proper place in the Scriptures and Israel in its proper place in the plan of God. You just can't take out these references here in Jeremiah 1 without distorting the Book of Hope and all the other verses that are around it. We often say a verse out of context is a pretext. Or as John Farr says, take text out of context and what are you left with? A con. Yeah. That's a good one to remember. The illustrations that I give regarding this text, it's not just a verse, but also a passage which you're dealing with. The one that I like is, I like pizzas. But sometimes they're a bit frustrating, aren't they? You know, they're all that lovely cheese on the top, and you slice off your pizza, and you start to pick up your pizza. What happens? Oh, you're all dragging, all this cheese, all dragging off. That's the illustration of a text being in a context, okay? You take the text out and read it, but remember, it's connected to all the other verses. It's connected to all the other verses. It only has a sense by being connected to all the other verses around. Now, that's what we're doing. We're going back to the roots. Now, let's have a look at this. We're three quarters of the way through, and I'm starting with, while God pleaded through the prophet to reverse the covenantal curses that we find there in Deuteronomy 28 and so on, the pulling down of the theocracy and the rooting up of the nation from the land, the Lord reveals during the old covenant times a new economy is coming in which the whole nation will be blessed forever by God through David's righteous branch, the Messiah, which we read of in chapters 11, 23, 31. And incidentally, we've got a little note here that says that when we do go to the New Testament, and of course the New Testament is filled with quotations from the Old Testament. The Old Testament was the Bible that the early church used. They didn't have a New Testament. It's being written. Did you know the Apostle Paul never saw a copy of the Gospel of John? When did Paul die? 67 AD. When was John written? Gospel. 95 AD. Of course, they would have heard some of the contents of it through prophets, whatever. They used the Old Testament to preach Jesus. I often say to my students, exercise. Lead someone to Christ through Old Testament scriptures only. Like the early church. It's an exercise. Go home and do that. Come back next year. Oh no, don't worry about that. December the 21st this year. You know what's going to happen? The Mayan calendar runs out. Someone said they've run out of stone, really. And they've used all up their implements. They can't use them anymore. And other prophecies for the 21st of December and so on. Yeah. That's why I've said to folks at the Bible school, I'm buying all my Christmas presents on December the 22nd. No, we'll be here. I mean, praise the Lord. If the Lord comes back, hallelujah. Yeah, I don't mind. But here we have this quotation. The quotation in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 8 is the longest from the Old Testament. Longest quotation. So it is important. And there is a real link. We want to know what that link is. Because I'm not of the house of Israel or of the house of Judah. I'm in the one new man. You know that one new man that's walking around the earth today? A living organism? The one new man? The church of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's another great thing. Okay, let's turn over now, or rather let's go to main point two, background to the New Testament, the New Covenant, and we're still dealing with the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. Point number one. Now, lest we think that Jeremiah is the only place in the Old Testament where the covenant is mentioned, we would be wrong. It is the central passage. Point number one. Old Testament references to a new covenant. There is one reference only in the Old Testament, new covenant. You can all check that out by a concordance. Or the new covenant. Habrit Hechadasha. And that is in Jeremiah 31:31. But there are 12 other references to a covenant in the Old Testament. And premillennial scholars are united that each of the mention of these covenants are in an eschatological context. Eschatological means having to do with the last times. Or as we call it in biblical studies, the eschaton. That is the end time. So in other words, all of the references have to do with what we would now call the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have them in Hosea, and the references are there. And here we have them in Isaiah, and there are six references there. In Isaiah, then we have Ezekiel, and then we have Jeremiah, and then finally we have this wonderful book of hope. Now, I'm not going to read all of these, but I'm going to select two. The one that I will select is in the book of Isaiah and chapter 61, verse 8. And let's have a look at that, please. Isaiah 61, verse 8. So Jeremiah is not the only one that talks about something new has to happen, something new has to come. And I want you to jot down on your notes, if you wouldn't mind, what the covenant is called here. It's very simple. Isaiah 61:8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. Definitely an eschatological context. The coming of the Messiah, God reversing all the trouble. But in verse 8 we have a covenant that God is going to make with them, and it's title is Everlasting Covenant. Everlasting Covenant. You see, because when that one's made, won't need to make any more. And it'll go on forever. That's a lovely verse, isn't it? Lovely verse.